Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. I'm here to talk about all sports. Kevin's here to talk about racing.
I'm not sure yet what my next obsession is going to be. I'm not sure yet.
How about work?
No, that can't be it.
Hilster's General Store Hotline, open 800-795-9565, and waiting patiently, Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
How you doing, Steve?
Doing well, just sitting here with K. Maxwell Herr.
Wee! Wee! Well, I'm looking at a six-paragraph article. Do you want me to read it in entirety or just give you the highlights?
On
wrestling inaugural golfing event, June 21st, at links at Hemlock Creek, Bloomsburg. First day of summer, June 21st.
Okay.
The Resolute Wrestling Club and legendary coach Phil Lockhoff, they're having an inaugural golf tournament, a four-man scramble. All are welcomed. It's to raise money for an annual yield of scholarships for male and female students at the high school, and also to help junior high and high school wrestlers' efforts with the summer camps and that.
That's great.
You call Justin Dunkelberger at 570-490-2789. For details.
Yeah, I believe that's also on our list of community events at WKOK.com.
Well, I decided to just give you the highlights.
It's a great day for wrestling, by the way.
Yeah.
Because wrestling made the cut down to three for the Olympic Games in 2020. Wrestling beat out wrestling, squash, and baseball, softball are the three sports remaining. Wrestling was the top vote getter for the 2020 Olympics.
Okay,
baseball,
great.
Softball beat out karate in a 9-5 vote. And squash beat out wushu for the third spot. They'll make the final determination. And right now, you don't think wrestling has a huge advantage. They haven't determined the 2020 Olympic site yet.
Yeah.
It's either going to be in Tokyo, Madrid, or Istanbul. Now, Istanbul makes me a little itchy. I saw the movie Midnight Express.
Yeah, I was thinking that when you said that.
Yeah. Well, Steve, I'll see you next Wednesday.
That sounds great.
To the country club.
Well, great. We'd like to encourage everybody to come over and join us between 3 and 5. We're going to do the show there.
Then you can see what an ugly muck I have.
Well, that's okay. You know, I'm on radio for a reason, Dave.
Okay. I might have a little something for you.
Oh, good. Oh, that's great. Sounds great.
You know, I just said about that golf tournament.
Yep, that'll be Friday, June 21st, and on News Radio 1070 WKOK.com, we have more in our community calendar.
Yeah, deadline to register is Monday, June 7th.
Doki doke. I just thought I'd give you the number out there so people can call.
That's great. Well done. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, how about wrestling making it through? Look, I'll be straight. I called that completely wrong.
I'm amazed.
I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, I'm not surprised. I mean, if you listen to the show, you know, which I support wrestling, blah, blah, blah. Look, we gave this a lot of airplay between Ken Shurto, Cale Sanderson, and so forth. We talked about this. But my gut feeling was it was placed into the pool for a reason. They wanted to get rid of it.
And to see this, I mean, I really thought that either karate or wushu would get through this vote here, and the and whatever between the two of them, one would get through because of the Eastern Rim countries. Look, they want to pattern what they saw from the old Soviet Union and East Germany and the Eastern Bloc countries, using sports to promote culture and to, quote, promote superiority of culture. That's what they want to do in China. And if somebody doesn't like that area of commentary, I'm sorry, but, you know, frank talk sometimes is not easy to hear. But reality is reality. And I'm not going to get into some political discussion here, and I'm not going to get into some philosophical discussion. Certain things are common sense apparent, and that's what they're trying to do. They want sports in there to ramp up their medal count and win the medal count. Simple as that. It's the same thing you saw from the Soviet Union. It's the same thing you saw from East Germany. We will use sports to promote our culture and promote our society, and also promote the superiority of our culture and the superiority of our society. That's what they want to do. Now, the Olympic Committee played into that by going to Beijing. It wasn't exactly a win for Beijing by going there, because it, you know, people didn't walk away and go, oh, wow, I didn't hear a lot of glowing stories about Beijing. It was very cautious reporting about Beijing. Now Rio gets it. You know, London had glowing reports. 16, Rio will get great reports. And then 20, whether it's Madrid, Istanbul, or Tokyo, they'll do well. Interesting that in Istanbul and in Tokyo, wrestling is big.
I was just going to think. I was just thinking about that as well. I mean, the United States, Iran, Russia—they were all big, but Turkey is big for wrestling. But those three countries, along with was a FILA, I think is the acronym for the organization. They were really, really overhauling themselves to try and change this and reverse this. They did nothing.
Up.
Yeah, they did nothing in February.
They fouled up. And when they did, they changed leadership in FILA, made a new presentation to the International Olympic Committee. When they did, they were the top vote getter. Then head-to-head baseball, softball beat out karate 9-5. Head-to-head squash beat wushu. Those are the three sports that will, and wrestling has to be the heavy favorite. They've made some changes. Instead of 3 2-minute periods, they're going to go with 2 3-minute periods. They're also going to have cumulative scoring.
I like that idea. I really like the cumulative scoring, because that's more along the lines of the traditional wrestling that we've seen over the last several decades. The Olympic wrestling scoring system was too confusing.
So that's what they're going to do. That's what they propose to do. And now we'll see. I would think they're in the driver's seat to do this.
And Steve, I'll be honest with you. I think that going to 2 3-minute periods is going to lend itself to more action and more scoring than having the 3 2-minute periods as they have in the past, and trying to win a period instead of trying to win on points.
Right. They wanted to win 2 out of 3.
Right. I mean, and you know, I just think this putting the point system back into place will create a lot more action in the matches.
Right. So that is that's the story on that.
Now, here's my question. It was supposed to be out for 2020. Now it's one of them that may be put back in. Let's assume it does get put back in 2020. There won't be a break, would there? I mean, technically,
no.
from a viewer's standpoint?
No, because wrestling is already in the 2016 Olympics. It was not taken out of 2020. It was put into the pool to be considered for the last spot for 2020. Right, so it was off the grid, but there was one spot available, and there were only 8 being considered for that spot.
Now, there's still only one spot available, right?
Right, and it's now down to baseball, softball as a combo, squash, and wrestling. Wrestling would have to be the favorite.
Well, I mean, I think if you separated baseball, softball, there'd be a better chance for baseball to make it. But I think when you lump in softball, I think it's going to be too hard to make a case for it because the world never liked softball in the first place because the United States dominated it. Baseball, at least there's a little more competition in the IOC's mind.
There's more worldwide participation in wrestling for countries than there is for baseball.
Now, I'm not sure about squash.
You were bragging me at the golf tournament that you won 9-5 the other day.
No, that was wushu. That's the one I would have put money on. Wushu and karate, I would have put money on those two.
No, I was adamant that those were the two front runners and that wrestling was in deep, deep trouble. I read it wrong.
And I'm sorry, climbing in my mind never stood a chance. If you'll pardon the pun, it's an uphill climb for that one, simply because it doesn't lend itself to television very well.
Well, the other part is
neither does nodding, but
right. I go back though to the Eastern Rim countries wanting to gain more control with sports that they are proficient at, with the idea that China can win the medal count. Well, if you were to put in wushu or karate, you would be talking about 10 weight classes, 3 medals each, 30 medals available, in which they could win 2/3.
No question.
See, that was my logic behind why I thought those sports were in front. I was wrong. Wrestling ended up getting through and actually getting through with some ease. Baseball, softball, the combo, beat out karate, squash beat out wushu.
And credit the organization of that wrestling's put together as a sport. Not just FILA, but I mean the organization, the websites that have come out, the keepwrestlinginTheOlympics.com, and the publicity that they've given to this. This is a sport that I think got overlooked an awful lot in this country, nationwide, except for in a few pockets, as you've talked about many times. But now it's a sport that's getting looked at a little bit more, even in areas that hadn't before, because of the publicity.
I think it has, but it's not going to expand beyond the pockets.
I don't think it does.
I don't want to offend people in this area, but look, most of the country doesn't care.
You're right.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't. Okay, I mean, look, the pockets of the country where people care deeply about wrestling are Pennsylvania, Iowa, you know, parts of Ohio, Oklahoma, you know, parts of Arizona. You know, I mean, they're just like, it's pocketed as where it is. The Southeastern Conference does not have wrestling. No. Okay, they don't have it. And they don't want it. It's just, it is, you know, for the lack of a better term, a niche sport, but it's a niche sport that is deeply, deeply pocketed and ingrained where we live. Thus, the passion for it and being in the Olympics is greater. In this, is that so many countries have it and do not put up, the United States was very powerful force, but so happened to be Iran and Russia. Very, very hard line wanting to keep it. And whoever thought that Iran, Russia, and the United States would all be together on something.
You could tell that there's no politics involved in that.
Exactly.
Well, and the Germans got involved as well.
But there were 70 countries represented in the last Olympiad in wrestling. Right? So, I mean, internationally. And look, the kind of wrestling that's in the Olympics is not popular in this country.
No.
At all. It's not. It's not what they wrestle in this country. It's not what they wrestle at Benton High School. It's not what they wrestle at Penn State.
No.
All right? So it's not a wildly popular style even among the people of this country that love it. But wrestling is a pocketed sport. They sell out the NCAA championship. They do so with ease. But you go to the southeastern part. You go from Florida to Texas and whatever. They don't care.
Steve, I think there were two things though that really, really did help in this case. Where FILA reorganized, everybody that didn't understand before, this was one of the inaugural sports in the Olympics. That helped its cause out with fans that were just fans of the Olympics. Then the U.S. Iran and Russia wrestle in Grand Central Terminal. That was a big event that kind of that we didn't look at a whole lot here, but got a lot of publicity when it actually happened. And it's a shame that they put it on the day that it did, because I think that's what early April just fell into a time where it didn't get a whole lot of attention. But it was an interesting little idea to bring awareness to it.
I think the bottom line is they walked in organized. I don't think it has anything to do more with that. Okay? That there was an outcry about it. People were upset about it. You know, you could talk about events at Grand Central Station and things like that. But the bottom line is that they found out that there was a real passion to keep it. And so they did. And by reorganizing and then going in with a better proposal to get them into the final three. I mean, baseball, softball reworked their proposal, and they got into the final three as well.
Also, like the U.S.-Iran match in L.A. a couple of weeks ago, too.
Yeah, I didn't even know that existed.
Well, and again, that's a lot of the problem. That's a lot of the problem.
But there's a lot. Look, there's a lot going on. It's a pocket sport. It's a niche sport. I mean, you follow a niche sport. Indianapolis racing is a niche sport.
Sure.
Okay? Now, NASCAR has more popularity, and it's a little more widespread. You know, but there's certain sports that, like, in certain pockets of the country, it has wild, great popularity. Women's basketball. You go to the state of Connecticut. Oh, yeah, hey, you know, they great attendance. Connecticut Sun does well. They, you know, in the WNBA and so forth. You go to other parts of the country, it's like, yeah. I mean, there's a reason why the ratings are 0.3, 0.4. You know? I mean, it's the way it is.
Well, you're right. I mean, I grew up with a high school that actually did a lot of wrestling, but I never paid that much attention to it. I had friends that wrestled. But it was the core wrestling group. It wasn't one of those things like basketball or football that you got a bunch of fans that, you know, didn't have any tie to the sport, if you know what I'm saying. Most of the wrestling fans were all people that were family or friends. I never went to a wrestling match until my son started wrestling in elementary school. And my wife and I both went to high school in schools that had very prominent wrestling programs.
Right. But in order to make this happen, it had to be an international outcry. It could not just be a United States outcry. It could not be an outcry from the state of Pennsylvania. It couldn't be an outcry from the state of Iowa. You needed to have U.S. Olympic officials and a force within the United States to then go with a force in Russia, to go with a force in Iran, to go with a force in Germany. I mean, it had to be an international, Japan, Turkey. It had to be an international field to say that, look, this is a world sport with popularity in it. It's one of the oldest sports in the Olympics. It's still incredibly popular. 70 different nations were represented in the Olympics in London in the sport of wrestling. I mean, those were the key components. It's just a question of them organizing the passion and bringing it to the IOC, and they did that. All right, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. Like a 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE, call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. A 2011 Ford Fusion 4-door sedan with 4-wheel drive, just $14,992. 2012 Hyundai Veloster 3-door coupe, $16,899. 2010 Ford F-150 Super Crew, $25,998. 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited 4-door Sahara, $26,994. And a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R. Call for the price, 888-536-8017. These deals won't last, so hurry in. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
All right, wrestling is in the final three with baseball, softball, and squash. Wrestling's got to be in front. They'll decide in September. The estate of Joe Paterno and several university trustees and former players are planning to sue the NCAA over the landmark sanctions against the university, according to reports. Wick Sollers is telling Bob Costas on NBC Sports Network's Costas Tonight Show, which airs tonight at 11 following Blackhawks and Wings, that former coaches and faculty members are part of the suit. Excerpts from Costas' exclusive interviews with Sollers and other representatives for the family were provided by the network. A suit has not been filed and is expected to be filed tomorrow, but NCAA President Mark Emmert and Oregon State President Edward Ray are named specifically in the suit.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motor Studio. Door unlocked today, knowing that Kevin is safely away from a golf course. By the way, I told my little lunch party today about your attempted murder.
There was no charges, and there was no proof.
Oh, no, there's proof.
Just an accusation.
I have two other witnesses.
Wasn't even reckless endangerment.
No, it was almost manslaughter. All right, and that will be, by the way, next Wednesday. I'll be in town a week from today at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA.
And the lesson you learned was?
I'm going to bring more cash for Mulligans because I want to...
because you couldn't putt? Is that what you're going to say?
Excuse me, I'm the only one that sank any putts.
I sank those little one-footers.
Walking up and tapping in for par does not count.
It counts okay. For me, but maybe not you.
All right. I'm out there going for dough, baby. But I want to, you know, the reason why is I want to bring more cash for Mulligans is not because I want to use them, because it goes to the YMCA. That's why. So I'm going to make sure we do that on Wednesday. We're playing in the morning flight. There are still a few spots available in the morning flight, and we really want to fill them up. Afternoon flight's filled. I think they have 10 more spots, 10 more foursomes this year than last year.
Yeah, I believe that's a number.
Which is great. So we'll be there Wednesday. Sunbury Motors is a huge supporter of this. No surprise. Tom and the gang will be out at the golf course with us. I think they're in the afternoon flight. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and, of course, right there in Hummel's Wharf, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove and Routes 11 and 15. And, again, wrestling, squash, baseball, softball, they're the final three that made it through. Karate, wushu, they're out. So in September, they'll make the final decision. And wrestling was the number one vote getter. You would expect it to make it, and it's really a credit to a lot of people that it's going to make it. Now, as for the lawsuit, the estate of Joe Paterno and several university trustees and former players have all combined. They were going to be separate. Now, I want to point out there were going to be separate lawsuits originally filed in this, I don't know, let's go back 6 to 9 months, okay? But what happened was is that the forces that were considering the lawsuits decided to join forces as one. Okay? And, you know, of course, Wick Sollers has been the Paterno family lawyer, but he's not the only one. There also is a prominent attorney in Boston that's going to be involved in this. And all these groups got together and decided we will file one together, pool our resources. So that's what they've done. Tonight, after the Blackhawks and Wings on the NBC Sports Net, on NBC Sports Net, the old versus, Costas tonight It's his show. It'll be Wicksellers, Dick Thornburg, and Dan McGinn, who's the paternal family spokesman. They're the three guests. Mark Emmert was invited to appear but declined. According to NBC Sports Network, Sellers and NCAA president said that NCAA President Mark Emmert and Oregon State President Edward Ray, who was the chair of the NCAA's executive committee, also targeted in the planned litigation. They are named specifically. The lawsuit takes issue with the NCAA's use of former FBI Director Louis Freeh's scathing findings for the university on the scandal levying the landmark sanctions last July. Expect the lawsuit to be filed tomorrow. Among the penalties were, of course, the four-year bowl ban, steep scholarship cuts, a $60 million fine. The NCAA also vacated 111 of Joe's wins, meaning he would no longer be number one in the all-time list from 409 to the NCAA recognized 298. Freeh accused Paterno and three former university officials of concealing allegations against Jerry Sandusky, who was a retired defensive coordinator at the time. Again, emphasis on retired. Sandusky was sentenced to at least 30 years in prison after being convicted last year of dozens of criminal counts of abuse, including allegations on and off campus. Paterno died in January of 2012. His family and former school officials have vehemently denied they took part in a cover-up. And Joe, Gary Schultz, Tim Curley, Mike McQuarrie were not interviewed for the Freeh report. I say that only because it is a fact and a fact that they recognize. In other words, you're missing that perspective, pro or con, within the confines of that report. There are two individuals that haven't said a word the entire time, except in grand jury testimony. That's Gary Schultz and, of course, Tim Curley. The suit is designed to redress the NCAA's 100% adoption of the Freeh report and imposition of a binding consent decree against Penn State University. It goes on to say the reality is that consent decree was imposed through coercion and threats behind the scenes, and there was no ability for anyone to get redress, according to Sellers. Sellers went on to say there was no board approval, there was no transparency, and there was no consideration of this consent decree. The NCAA said Wednesday it had not received any such lawsuit and would not comment. Despite a request, the Paterno had any information about its planned legal action. Chief Legal Counsel Donald Remy said he committed with continued successful voluntary with the university and working with the NCAA's independent monitor, which is former U.S. Senator George Mitchell. And by the way, Senator Mitchell has written several glowing reports on the progress Penn State has made. We look forward to continuing to work with Senator Mitchell and recognize the important role that intercollegiate athletics provides for our student-athletes and the wider university community, said the statement from David Latorre, who's a Penn State spokesman. Latorre said that the school itself was not a party to any lawsuit, which you would expect. I mean, they really can't be in the position they're in. And that they were looking at full compliance with the sanctions. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett has also filed a federal antitrust lawsuit against the NCAA, which has also faced criticism for a botched investigation of Miami and the departures of the enforcement division, in which the president of the NCAA says, quote, he knew nothing about. So there you have it. That is what's being done. The interview is tonight about 11 o'clock following the Wings and Blackhawks. And then expect the lawsuit to be filed tomorrow. But it does name the NCAA. It does name Mark Emmert. And it does name Edward Ray. So, there you have it. But again, those are the two big stories of the day. John Tortorella fired as the New York Rangers coach. I wouldn't have done it. I'd have kept him. I think he's perfect for what they want to do. It's just a question of getting better talent in there. So those are the big stories of the day. The SEC, by the way, evidently is going to stay at 8 games for the time being instead of going to 9. It's been a lot of infighting in the SEC about going 8-9 about crossover games. Eventually, I can tell you right now, they will go to 9 games. And here's the reason why. You need inventory. Why have an SEC network? They really don't want to see you play at UAB. And that's the reason why. What they have right now in the SEC is what's called a 6-1-1 format. Let me explain the 6-1-1 format for you. The 6-1-1 format that they have is 8 conference games. You play everybody in your division, 6. You have one permanent crossover game, Alabama-Tennessee, third Saturday in October. And then you have one rotating game from the other division. That's 6-1-1. The 2014 schedule will be a 6-1-1 formula, probably 2015. But they're going to stay at 8, it looks like, for now. I tell you, they're going to have to go to 9. And I also want to point out something. It's really interesting when you sit there and you look at the schedule in the SEC, and when they talk about, oh, the SEC, 7 straight national champions, the whole thing, I'm telling you right now, they are scheduled soft. Soft. This 6-1-1 format allows you to schedule soft. Do you know that? Alabama has obviously a very, very tough game in LSU, and has a very, very tough game in Texas A&M because they're in their division. Vanderbilt is not a problem. Kentucky is not a problem. Auburn is not a problem. Okay? Mississippi State, not a problem. Okay? Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Tennessee, that's 5 wins in the conference that Alabama has before they tee it up. And who's their rotating game? Georgia? They never play Georgia. Look it up. Look how often Alabama plays Georgia. Florida? Alabama doesn't play, except for the SEC championship game, Alabama does not play Florida.
By the way, I'm looking it up.
I think Alabama-Georgia played 66 times. But look at how many times they've played since 1960. I think they played 66 times altogether, if I recall correctly. But they never play each other. The crossover game's Tennessee. I think their rotator was Missouri last year. So you look at the Big Ten. I mean, the schedule they came out in 14 and 15 for the Big Ten, okay, not all rotators are the same. Minnesota, you know who Minnesota's rotators are? Ohio State and Michigan. Really?
Alabama, Georgia has played 5 times since 1995.
Right.
Since 95.
That's my point. And that includes the SEC championship game last year.
That does, yes. I was about to say that.
They have played 4 times in the regular. In fact, Alabama and Georgia have played as many regular season games since 1995 as Penn State and Pitt. And they're in the same league.
I think
they're
nine
in the
times,
same league.
9 times since 1984. Not including the championship.
I mean, that's it. Not all schedules are the same. Do you realize Ohio State, Michigan, Nebraska, and Wisconsin, you know what they have in common in 14 and 15 in the Big Ten?
No.
Not one of them plays each other. You think we can't read?
This was okay before the internet was available. Now that the internet's available, everybody can look it up.
Yeah, but I knew the Alabama-Georgia thing before the internet.
Oh, I know. I knew that. Believe me, I knew that.
Well, I'm just saying they don't play. They're in the same league. They have played 4 times since 1995 in the regular season. Penn State and Pitt have played 4 times since 1995 in the regular season. They're not in the same conference. It's amazing. I mean, it really is. I mean, you sit back and, you know, yes, Alabama has LSU, and yes, they have Texas A&M. But Auburn? Mississippi State? Ole Miss? Kentucky? Really? And their crossover is Tennessee. So what? It's like Michigan State's crossover was Indiana. I don't think that helped Michigan State that much. Not all SEC schedules are made alike. Not even close. And believe me, I don't think it's worth protecting the Alabama-Tennessee thing. I really... Third Saturday in October? That meant a lot in a long time. We'll come back on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. So big stories today and a lot going on. So we'll delve into it a little bit more. Expect the lawsuit to be filed tomorrow and then go from there. It'll be on Costas tonight, following Blackhawks and Red Wings, Game 7. Wrestling is into the final three, so that's huge. I mean, that really... That played out differently than I thought it would. I really thought there'd be more of an influence to get karate, wushu, multiple metal sports in there to boost the metal count of Eastern Rim countries. But no, forget it. That's not how it played out. And I think that's worked out extremely well. And there's just no way that I just don't see how wrestling gets knocked out of the ancient Olympic Games. Red Sox tonight, they split the first two, and Cliff Lee was great last night, and Papelbon came on and had just a fabulous ninth inning, especially getting Pedroia and Ortiz to end it. Big home run by Dominic Brown last night to just change the tone of a 2-1 game, and a 3-1 game is a different tone, different feel. Dominic Brown has had some pretty good games.
I think it's 11. Six,
Yeah, he's hitting sixth in the lineup right now. And Charlie Manuel's great the way he described. I give Charlie Manuel a lot of credit. He said, when will Dominic Brown move up? He says, well, he'll tell me. Dominic Brown will tell me when it's time to move up. Well, the player is the one that tells you when he's going to move up. You just can't, just say, hey, we're going to do it. You know, I mean, the player tells you whether or not you're going to play. The player tells you where you're going to be. And the player is the one that tells you that in the end. And he's come up with some clutch hits here and there, and I think he very quietly is starting to round into a really good ball player. Now, he has to do it consistently. And when you see Brown, you see a Freddie Galvis. I mean, there's some of the youth that you're hoping will come to the front in this program. That's what you're hoping for if you're a Phillies fan. Because it's, Chase Utley's out again. And Michael Young had another big, I believe he homered last night. He had a shot into left field seats.
First
the monster
inning,
seats.
I think.
Yeah, monster seats off Ryan Dempster.
By the way, NBC Sports Network available on channel 213 and 673 on Service Electric and CATV in the area.
Very nice. That's tonight, 11 o'clock. We'll talk to you tomorrow.